This morning, as we try to bring you the everlasting eternal word of God, I'd like for us to think about running the race of life. You and me and everybody else you see walking the streets, we're in the race of life from the cradle to the grave, from time on into eternity. It's something we need to think about seriously. We're only a heartbeat between us and eternity. Time this morning is ticking us on to eternity. So we need to think about this race of life that we are running. A lot of you out there listening this morning, nursing homes and around and like me, you know your race of life is almost over. In June, I'll have my 80th birthday, and I'll watch people run the race of life, live and die. So we're in the race of life. We need to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal salvation. If you're a Christian this morning, God has chosen you and called you and me to be conformed into the image of His Son as we run this race of life. And that's the most important thing in all the world, is how the Holy Spirit's dealing with you and creating you back into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, conforming you to His image. Paul, in the 12th chapter to the Hebrews, he said, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." He talked about the faithful in the chapter before that, but let me challenge you to think about the friends in your family, your friends around in the community, and the people up the streets are witnessing you as you're running the race of life. So it's a serious thing for each one of us to think about as I try to bring you some thoughts on running this race. And listen to the counsel that Paul tried to give these Hebrews. He said, "Let us lay aside every weight and every sin which doeth so easily beset us." You need to examine your life. I need to examine my life. What kind of weights are you got, or what kind of habits in your life this weights against, that's hindering your influence as you run this race day by day? He said we need to consider them, count them out, mark them down, lay them aside. Then let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The Lord set the race for you and me to run. In the second verse, he said, "Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." We need to look unto the Lord Jesus Christ for counsel. We need to listen to His Holy Spirit if we're a child of God, as He counsels us and reproves us as we journey along through life. The Lord's the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is setting the honor to the one that set the race for you and me to run at the right hand of the throne of God. But He don't leave us alone as we're running the race of life. He sent His Holy Spirit down here to indwell each one of us. And we need to consider this race, how we're going to run it from here on into eternity. You can't do anything about the past, but we can do something about the future. The Lord Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of His Father with all power in heaven and earth. And he promised it over in the 13th chapter of Hebrews that he would never leave us nor never forsake us, so that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper." And each one of us need to stay in a praying relationship with God in this race of life from here to eternity. And just out in the edge of eternity, you and me have got a judgment to meet there, to give an account to God how we run this race of life, whether we laid aside these weights and hindrances, the thing that hindered the influence of our life. There every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to have to confess and to give an account, the Bible says, even of every idle word. It said, if the Lord's never going to leave us nor forsake us, he said, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We need to not fear man, but we need to fear God that's able to destroy both soul and body under in torment. The Bible plainly teaches us that God has chosen us. He told his disciples, "You didn't choose me, but I've chosen you and called you and sent you out into the world to be my witnesses and to be conformed into my image while you're running this race of life." It's really something, this race that you and me that set before us to run from time on into eternity. And it is really the Lord's race, because he sent us in this race. And think again about all the people watching you day by day as you run this race. They're listening to all you say and do. That we need to think earnestly about laying aside every weight and every sin and all ungodliness and worldly lust that hinder us in running with patience this race that the Lord set before us. Paul describes it as a race to run, living a Christian life. And the Bible talks about fighting a good fight of faith and to run and wrestle. But we don't run and wrestle alone if we stay in the right relationship with God, because His presence is with us. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and not on the world system around about us, because he's the one put us in this race. And I'm so glad he promised that he'd be with us to the end. If he began a good work in us, he would finish that work. All we can do is humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and live under the influence of the Holy Spirit, so we can run with patience the race that's set before us and live the right kind of influence that we won't offend other people as we run this race of life. And the Lord Jesus Christ put out a great warning. He said it'd be better for you to take a millstone and go out in the ocean with a rope and tie it around your neck and jump off rather than to offend people as you journey down through this world. It's a really serious thing if we say we are Christians out here running this race of life. I'd like to speak a word to the young people this morning. I know school's about over, a lot of young people, and I hope some of them's listening this morning. I'd like to beg them to remember God, their creator now. God created that body of yours to be a temple of his Holy Spirit. And your only hope of running this race of life successfully is to surrender your body to become a temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And then you'll have the greatest companion in all the world to journey with you. You won't be journeying alone. And he said, if that Holy Spirit come in, he'd never leave us or forsake us. You might let sin come in, separate between you and God, but it won't be the Holy Spirit's fault. Saul, if you'll take the Lord Jesus Christ, you won't be bothered with these weights and sin that Paul's begging these Hebrews to lay aside, a few young person now. Don't ever let these things that beset you, beset an older Christian, cling to you. And then all these evil habits will be foreign to you. You won't ever have to think about them. They won't even bother you. So while you're young, if you listen to me this morning, abhor all the evil things and evil habits and set your goals high while you are still young and fill your life up with good things. There's plenty of things that you can fill your memory, your mind up with good things. And you've got a mind and a memory and a life to build as you're journeying on out into life. And let me warn you that once you have formed some of these evil habits and these weights into your life, tobacco, alcohol, drugs, and all these fleshly lusts, you may never overcome these habits. It can destroy your life. And think how much it can cost you in money. Even the habit of smoking, look how much money you would spend in a lifetime and alcohol and other things. Then it can cost you your health. I've seen so many people at tobacco not only cost them a lot of money, but it cost them their health. I might tell you of two young boys, a 17-year-old I met one day, and they was one smoking, the other one wasn't smoking. I tried to encourage the one to quit that had the habit. I asked them to sit down in 20 years and see how much more money the one would have that didn't smoke than the one that did. I counseled them boys, and this boy continued to smoke. The other never did smoke. And I watched them all down through life. The one that smoked, a big, fine young boy, died with lung cancer at 45 years of age, right in the midst of life. The other boy was, both of them was poor boys. The other saved his money and took courses through mail and become a designing engineer for Duke Power. Now he's one of the executives in Duke Power Company. The other boy's been dead 15 or 20 years with the lung cancer. So let me beg any young people, listen to me. Stop and look at other people around you and abhor all the evil habits and fill your life up with the thing that's good. And then you won't have nothing to fear in this life. No, you won't have nothing to fear yonder in the world to come. I talked to one old man that wasted his life and his money on the habits. I asked him, I said, did your drinking and evil habits ever profit you anything? He said, I wasted a fortune. And I knew his life, he had wasted a fortune. He lost his soul. He had no desire for God and the things of eternity. Old and gray-headed, soon going into the grave. And it's something that greatest treasure you young people can have is to be, live your life under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And abhor the thing that's evil and cleave to that which is good. Then you can run a successful life. and you won't have nothing to dread as you face life, and you won't have nothing to dread in eternity. In these evil days, we need to know what is true and what is false. We need to know what is right and what is wrong. It seems that we've lost the sense of right and wrong, of good and evil in these last days, evil days we're living in. Let me beg the young people, you determine what's right and wrong by the commandments of God and the laws of God. Because the Bible said the laws and commandments of God's going to stand forever. They're going to be standing there in the judgment when you come to be judged in the last, after your race of life is over. And it's the thing that hindered you is a sin against sin, is transgressing God's holy laws and commandments. And we need to obey the laws and commandments of God if we're going to run this race successfully in life. We need to live a good, godly influence day by day and live a righteous life. And you're going to need the shield of faith. Without faith, the Bible says it's impossible to please God. God gives all that comes in repentance, diligently seeking Him and believing that He is a rewarder of those that faithfully seek Him, and that He rewards them by giving them faith when they come in repentance. And if you're a young person never did this, let me beg you to start seeking the Lord now in repentance until He gives you faith. And when He gives you faith, He'll give you His Spirit to come in to guide and counsel you as you live your life. And then you can win in this race of life that I'm talking about. So if you had never done it, seek Him with all your heart this morning. In these evil days, we need a faith like Job had. He said, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. And if you start out at running this race, you're going to need patience, and there's going to be trials and difficulties and testing in this race. But you can run, if you've got the right kind of faith, you can run. The Bible said, the just shall live by faith. Then you'll be able to win in this race of life. We are all headed yonder, just outside of the, out in the edge of eternity to meet God. And then if you'll hide God's word up in your heart, you'll understand what the will of God is for you as you run the race of life. And in the end, only the ones who find the will of God in their lives and do it will really win in the race of life as we go into eternity. Because the Lord promised all those that were faithful and run faithful unto death, He'd give them the crown of life yonder that would never fade away in the everlasting kingdom of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's my prayer for each one as I bring this program to a close this morning.